Yeah, thanks, Chad. Thanks, Chad. Good morning. How are you? I'm Ryan. I'm the lead pastor here, and I get to follow the most knowledgeable man in the room, Chad. Thanks, Chad, for everything you do. He plans so much, I don't even think he knows what he's planning anymore, so we appreciate him so much. Really quick, I want to welcome you and thank you. If you're new here, thank you for being here. I didn't get a chance to meet you if you are new, but I will know who you are. I won't point you out because I like to look at every single person in the eyes to see really who's sinning today. So that's a joke. Oh my gosh. I used to think that when I was a new believer, if the pastor looked at me, I'd be like, don't look at me, don't like me, because you don't want to know. I put my head down. He knew. And so, but no, really, we want to thank you for being here. And we hope you feel welcome. We hope you feel kindness and care here. And we hope you feel the very spirit we're trying to follow that God's called the church to be, which is a hub, a place where people can come, experience God, and then really, really experience a loving community. And so if you have any questions, let me know or just grab me afterwards. I'll be out and about around here. And so if you have to go, don't worry. You can see me next week or call me. Okay, so we are in this series on discernment. And I know that you're about ready to enter, in some cases, the war room, which is Thanksgiving dinner with your extended relatives. I know. There's a lot that you can discuss and you can talk about. I'm sure there's topics that are off limits. And there's no better time than now to talk about discernment and those, I would say, opportunities to be an ambassador of Christ. And so, you know, we're really grateful for the times that we'll sit around with family, be reflective, and be thankful. And we also want to always be in situations, if you're in a family situation, where extended family, where there hasn't been, people haven't seen eye to eye, or maybe there's some issues going on in the family, where we get to be an ambassador for Christ and display who he is in sometimes the hardest moments. And not all of it's that way. I mean, a lot of people here are just going to eat the turkey, watch some football, and fall asleep. And that's what you should do too. But discernment is so important as we engage people in our everyday life and in easy situations and in difficult situations. What happens inside when you encounter something difficult? Then you kind of see who you listen to. And so we started going through a lot of these, we call them influences that we can see from Scripture that are part of discernment. We should access each part of this in our process of making a big decision. When you think about, like, where am I going to go to school, right? That's a big decision. You want to discern that matter well. When you think about who I want to marry, or in some cases even just beginning to date, you want to ask that question well. And you want to seek discernment on that, because have you ever been in a relationship and then, like, a year later, you're like, wow, that was a year gone in my life. And well, don't raise your hand. Maybe you're in it now. But, but you know, you think about it and you think, man, I should have thought through some things more. I should have asked more people. I should have prayed about this more. I should have sought some other advice, or should have maybe sought Scripture on whether this was the right way to pursue in the context of which we're pursuing the relationship. Discernment's so important. If you're going to buy a home, a lot of people go, okay, God, is this going to be the home that we're going to thrive in? I know many people who have put the discernment influences to test in making just even a purchase. And I think we can do that in every day. Like, if you get a nasty email from somebody, and how will you respond? That's not close to home at all. If you get a text, or even when someone is difficult to deal with in the moment, what's discernment? You know, how will you access discernment at that moment versus relying on maybe what you're used to doing? You know, there's these four influences we talked about, and the first one we talked about is intuition. You can go back and listen to these on the podcast. Next week, we'll do a final wrap-up. I'm going to finish two of the points that I definitely won't be able to finish today. And there's a five of total things about the Holy Spirit I want to get across over the next 2 weeks. But I'll do two of them then. We're going to have a wrap up with some very practical ways to really kind of walk out some of these discernible influences that we've talked about. But we talked about intuition, you know, just our intellect, our mind, our reason, the work we've put into, the wisdom that we've gained, right? We access that. There's communal sourcing, meaning that we're going to other people to learn how to hear God's voice and to learn to discern and to grab wisdom that they have already attained when it comes to discernment. We go to Scripture, like Chad has spent the last 2 weeks really explaining the importance of seeking Scripture, hearing God's voice in Scripture, so for our lives. And really, ultimately, why we value that is because it is, and I'll kind of get into it in a way maybe you haven't thought about before when it comes to the Holy Spirit, but it is so valuable we spend time in Scripture. And if it's hard to read, I totally understand that you're going, wait, what does that phrase mean? I have no idea. Like, we have opportunities that you can jump in to begin to learn a bit more. There's tons of resources all around. And if you ever have any questions, we'd love to help you, because learning the value and the eternal wisdom in Scripture is so valuable for discernment in our life. And then the final one is the Holy Spirit, which I'll spend 2 weeks on doing here. Now, let's pray and then we'll get started. God, we love you so much. We thank you for today, God. I thank you for the opportunity to be here and really worship you like we just did in song, and we worship you as we read Scripture and we glorify you. And God, as we walk through these next 2 weeks, you know, open our heart, make our ears very sensitive to your voice and when it comes to discernible matters and living life. And God, help us understand a little bit more, have a greater glimpse, or maybe just a different take or understanding on, or a new appreciation about the Holy Spirit's work in our life on a daily basis. God, thank you that you care so much about the church as a whole, our church, and then us as individuals. Your eye is always on us. Your presence is always here. And God, I thank you that you've given the Holy Spirit inside of us to guide us in what we do and really where we go and the decisions we make. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just titled this message really simple, The Holy Spirit. Basically, the whole direction of where we're going is I really want to do my very best to try to establish the importance of the Holy Spirit in discernment. Now, I don't want to get into all the theologies of the Holy Spirit. I will touch upon a few as we go, because I think sometimes as we start to kind of unpack something like that, that's a completely different series. I want to keep it within the context of this series. So we may do that in the future, because I think definitely it's so important to discuss. But when you look at the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like it is a mystery to a lot of people. It's complex, but it's simple. And so we want to look at, what is the Holy Spirit? What's the role of the Holy Spirit in my life? And you'll see in a little bit that there are some very clear roles the Holy Spirit has in your life and clearly present with us at all times, guiding, directing us. I've heard some say that actually the Holy Spirit had been working on our hearts to introduce us to Christ. And so even before we become believers, is working and drawing our hearts toward him. And when the words are said, or the word of Scripture is said, our heart responds because the Holy Spirit has been doing his work. Now, I decided to do a little investigating. And so I went within Christian culture, which I won't mention these churches' names, what would be the most kind of extreme theology of the Holy Spirit today. It's to a lot of very conservative churches, very liberal in its sense of the Holy Spirit. And so I decided, why don't I just go on their website and read what they believe about the Holy Spirit and what they say the Holy Spirit's role is. And I thought this might be interesting for you to see these two contrasts, because then I go to the probably one of the most conservative churches on the Holy Spirit, and the way the Holy Spirit manifests in our world today. And I'm going to read from their statement of faith on their website. And so if you could put this first one up on the screen, this would be the one that people, I would say a lot of people would say is a very liberal sense, extreme sense of the Holy Spirit to some. And it says, this is what they said. The Holy Spirit convicts, regenerates, justifies, sanctifies, and adopts us as we enter the kingdom of God as sons and daughters. We believe in sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy life and minister supernaturally. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 1:4-8 and 2:4, is poured out on believers that they may have power to be witnesses. Now, that's the extreme end, which some would say, on the Holy Spirit and its manifestation. Now, on the very, 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 very conservative end on the Holy Spirit, this church says this: we teach that the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher who guides the apostles and prophets into the truth as they committed to writing God's revelation. Every believer possesses the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit from the moment of salvation, and it is the duty of all those born of the Spirit to be filled with the Spirit, controlled essentially by the Spirit. Now, did you guys notice there wasn't really much of a difference in those two statements, right? There's a lot of commonality, and a lot of that is really where we really ultimately should focus. Because I think we can get caught up in one way or another and all these nuances, but really the essential foundational thoughts and scriptural truths of the Holy Spirit, they both capture them and ultimately are foundational. And some of the fringe, even theology of which they embrace, tends to be a very small statement within that large statement we just heard. So these polar views still maintain the main role of the Holy Spirit. At Soundhouse, I think we find a very middle ground view of the Holy Spirit. So we find that our beliefs are somewhere definitely in the middle, holding the main functions of the Holy Spirit and what we focus on. We see that he's our helper, he's our guide, he instructs us, he empowers us. His continual presence is here and has a heavy influence on the heart of a believer. And so with that in mind, let's read who this Holy Spirit is and then when Jesus says he's going to send a helper. And so we should definitely start off with Luke 14:25-27. I am telling you these things while I am still living with you, he's telling his disciples, getting ready to let them know I'm going to depart, but don't be afraid. The friend, that's what he calls it, the friend. And I think we have to think about the Holy Spirit in that way. Not like, you know, the Holy Spirit, my bro, we just kick back and we're watching like basketball. He means like you have an advocate. A true friend. When you're not even for yourself, he's for you. And maybe when everybody else is against you, he's for you. He's a friend. He's not a bro, right? He's a friend. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request. And then listen to this, will make everything plain to you. So around the Holy Spirit, you hear a lot of these types of phrases of like clarity, right? Understanding, guidance, right? Direction. He will remind you all the things that I've told you and that I am leaving you well and whole, is what Jesus says to them. That's my parting gift to you. If I could give you anything, I'm giving you this, my parting gift. And what he ultimately says is, and it's peace. And I think about it when I think about this parting gift in the Holy Spirit, and ultimately I think a peace we should experience, having the Holy Spirit in our life, that Christ is just not gone. God's voice isn't just gone, or it wasn't just at that time, but now the very living God is living in our heart. He says, I don't leave you the way that you're used to being left, feeling abandoned. What is that word? Wow, I didn't even look at that when I just skipped right over it. But I am dyslexic, so give me a break. Okay, so don't be upset. Don't be distraught. And I love that. You have something so great. I'm giving you my parting gift. And it's the Holy Spirit. I want to take this next week to give you a few ways the Holy Spirit interacts with us, because I think sometimes we don't know. We wonder, where is the Holy Spirit interacting with me? I used to hear this phrase about discerning the Holy Spirit's voice, and they'd say this phrase like, you should ask yourself, is that me, is that God, or is that the devil? When you're thinking something. And I think that's a good question to ask. It's kind of simple, but it's a good one to ask. And I want to maybe take a second and just peek into, like, where do we see in the Bible that we see that the Holy Spirit does interact with believers? I'm going to keep this almost, I think, every bit of it New Testament. So I think that this is just important for us as a church, especially where we see the Holy Spirit's role so prominent, to keep it into the New Testament. But he's not limited to the New Testament, right? So, one, definitely, the Spirit interacts through Scripture. Chad did a great job over the last 2 weeks talking about that. I want to quote, I guess we determined that this guy is Chad Frontera. Can you put this quote up really fast? Go to the next one. Did I skip something? Oh, there he is. Oh, you can't see his face. There goes my punchline. Okay, so last week, Chad had a picture of this guy, Charles Spurgeon. He looks just like him. And here's what he said. If you do not understand a book by the departed writer, you are unable to ask him his meaning. But the Spirit who inspired Holy Scriptures lives forever, and he delights to open the word with those who see his instruction. Ooh. The author of Scripture, the inspiration, is at our access. And I think that's the value of knowing and understanding Scripture and consulting the Holy Spirit as you're reading Scripture to impact your life, inviting the Holy Spirit to help you see what you maybe aren't seeing. By the author. Sometimes when, you know, you're reading something, you need a little bit of like clarity around it, right? It's so important that we have that. I think that the Scriptures are brought to life by the Holy Spirit to guide us. They're just brought to life by the Holy Spirit. He inspired it. The author wants to bring clarity and bring actually maybe interpretation to your life around it. 2 Peter 1, this isn't a very popular verse, but I can't believe we miss it all the time when we talk about the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed to you. Do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. That sets the stage. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Using these metaphors, there's something that happens in this prophetic thing in the Word. And it shines light in dark places. And if you've ever read a passage and you feel like, wow, I've never seen that before. And wow, I need to change a certain thing I've thought about and behavior I've had, and that shined light in an area that was otherwise a blind spot. And it rises in your heart. It rises from within, right? Knowing the first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, meaning that any prophecy given, anytime Christ got up and shared a prophecy, or any of the prophets or anybody in the New Testament who quote or have a prophetic a word about Scripture, it was not in their own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced with the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and the Scriptures themselves were written, carried along by the Holy Spirit. None of that comes from man. So we see that the Word and the Holy Spirit are intricately connected, right? So valuable that we have them together. I don't know if this will come up on the screen, but I think when you're talking about having a conversation, none of my things will come up on the screen, Chad. I had so many great jokes for you. Okay. I'll try to quote them from memory. When you're looking for clarity and you're reading something and you're wondering, like, what's the context of this? Or when you're reading and you think, I need to maybe call and get some clarity on this email, because this could get really out of hand if I start trying to interpret this without the author. My daughter was texting me. We had gotten in an argument, and she's so, so sweet. I love her. She's a teenager, and so very special. And So we never really had conflict, me and my daughter. I mean, we generally pretty much get along, and then I, you know, we had conflict. And so she had texted me and said, Dad, I decided that I want to live alone. I'm like at work, and I was like, I said, haha, why? She goes, I just want to let you know that I have started packing your bags. And I was like, what? My bags? I think that's a typo. I did call the author and decide to figure out what she was saying. And sure enough, she said, I would like you to move out. And so, what? The house would be better if you weren't cracking down on me. And I, you know, I think sometimes when we read scripture, we do need to, if we're reading something and going, wait, what exactly does that mean? I had someone, I see you here, right? You came to me after church one day and you said, I want you to can you try to explain this passage? It's very difficult. And she had brought to me one of the hard sayings of Jesus. And so we talked about it, right? And in one way you're going, oh, wow, this looks bad. I don't like this. And it's a hard saying he has. And as we start to begin to talk through it, and we start to look at the context, and we look at really ultimately what Christ was trying to highlight, then the whole passage maybe seems different. And I think that it's important that when we do that, and that's just me, and the Holy Spirit says that he will teach us through those things, and maybe he allowed me to be a part of that process in that moment. But it's so important that we consult the author on his words. Ephesians 6:7, listen to what he says about the word. Okay, so they're talking about the armor of God. When I was a young kid, my mom and dad were, this is like early, late 80s, you know, church. So late 80s church was a little different than now church, okay? And late 80s church was like my parents would get us up and we would pray and we would put on like, and we put on the helmet of salvation, right? We would do this with our hands. Did you ever do that? Maybe this is just a Michigan me weird thing in my family, but we would do these things and we'd walk through all these things. And I wasn't old. I was a kid, okay? So give me a... So I put these on and my parents were really trying to give us this idea of what these things were. And I gird my loins. I didn't even know what they were, but I was girding them. And so all these things we're walking through and we came to this thing, the only thing I was really interested in was the sword of the Spirit. And I was like, finally, I get a weapon. And I would hold it, and I would pretend, you know what I mean, that I had He-Man's sword, and it was a big deal. But listen to what it says here as he finishes the final thing, and he's, and Paul is saying, you have these things at your disposal. And he uses it as really in a militant way. And finally, he finishes it off with, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I never really put those together. And so the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only offensive thing that we put on in that whole state, in the whole statement of the helmet of salvation and the girding the loins and the breastplate of righteousness, all defensive, all protective, all assurance, and the one thing we have in hand of offense seems to be the word, and it is the sword of the Spirit. He authored it. He wrote it. It's powerful. And so I think it's important that we realize the value of the Holy Spirit consulting him in Scripture when it comes to really ultimately discernment. The word is active offense given by the Holy Spirit to arm us for action. And if you cannot read Scripture, especially when the Holy Spirit's involved in revealing it, it leads us to action. It puts offense in our hands. And, you know, I think that there's a few practices that maybe we can think about, which is this, is one is if you're thinking about this with the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, and you're thinking, I don't really know how to involve the Holy Spirit in what I read. I just read and I kind of think about it. But really, ultimately, if you do, just before reading, ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and understanding. Before reading, just go, I just ask Holy Spirit that you just give me guidance and understanding on your word. When reading, if something stands out, take note of it, like Chad, like you had pointed out last week and led us through that practice last week if you weren't here. But take a word and a phrase. What stands out to you? What is God speaking to you? That's the Spirit speaking to you, right? One of the words that I was cling to. I never said that. I wanted to in the microphone so bad, Chad. But my shoes were squeaking too, so bad I was distracted. And so like, I wanted to say cling, because that's what stood out to me, because that's what I'm being asked to do right now, is to cling to him. Clinging to me just was so, I don't know, it just sounded like that was what my heart is feeling. That's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And then meditate on it, ponder it, recall it, reread it. The Holy Spirit speaks through his word. That's a great revelation and helps for discernment. I think a lot of times we're just waiting to be like, God, I'm just praying about this thing. God, I need you to give me a sign, like a billboard, or someone to come up and just say, that thing you're thinking about, do that thing you're thinking about. Like, right, we're just waiting for that. And God, the Spirit's going like, oh no, you have this sword. You should consult it. You might find a discernible matter being handled there. The second really way we see the Holy Spirit interacting with us is he confronts our flesh. This is always the tough one. Because the flesh, in a sense of how they would say flesh, they meant really ultimately the way we conducted our lives. He interacts with that and sometimes opposes it. And if you've ever had the Holy Spirit confront the flesh, it's not a great feeling that you have. And you can resist and you can resist and you can resist and you can think ultimately I beat the Holy Spirit. Wow. I took on God and I won. But really, ultimately, you've defeated yourself from what the Holy Spirit is trying to guide you in, because that's what he's been given to us as a guide, a friend. He's looking out for you when you're not looking out for yourself. And you know this. You've had friends tell you, like, I don't think this is a good idea. Have you ever had that? And you're like, I'm going to do this. I think it's a good idea. And later on, they're just like, I really hate to say this, but I have to. I told you so. And they can't wait to say it, and sometimes they're sad to say it. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit confronts our flesh. And I'll just say this, the Holy Spirit is not afraid of confrontation. Some of us might be afraid of confrontation. We just kind of, he is not afraid to confront something that would hurt his friend, that would hurt God's child. He's not afraid to intervene. Have you heard of the stories of moms who will lift a car? Have you heard of a story of a mom who, I just did one of these interventions myself for my child. So, should I talk about it? It was one of my only parental moments where I got to intimidate some young men because they were talking to my daughter. And it was a great moment, and I loved it. I didn't have a shotgun, but I definitely was standing over them, and they were going, yes, sir, yes, And then they all shook my hand. We had an agreement they won't speak to my daughter. Or else. It was great. Sometimes you have to intervene. And it was funny because when I think about the Holy Spirit, he intervenes with me. I think I know what I'm doing is right, and he will come along and say, oppose me directly. He confronts our flesh. You got to appreciate a confrontational person sometimes. That person in the office who can be really annoying can also be a great benefit, who's confrontational. Oh, T, you explain what you meant, boss? And I want to challenge you on a few thoughts. And everyone's going, just shut up. But no, the Holy Spirit is like that. I want to ask some questions about these decisions. This does lead to helping discernment become more clear. Because when we're confronting these fleshly things, these patterns, Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about these unhealthy ways of living, ways that maybe we were born and grew up with, ways that we learned along the way by our experiences, but when he comes in confrontation with them, it's for your benefit, ultimately benefiting your decision-making ability. I think the Holy Spirit, it should be up here, the Holy Spirit works to clear out hindrances to healthy discernment. So many times we're influenced by things that are very unhealthy when it comes to a decision. We're in the wrong place mentally about it. We just think that that's naturally how I handle something. And the Holy Spirit's job is to continually work on those unhealthy things, confronting the flesh. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk. Now, walk by the Spirit. Now that word walk, we kind of feel like, what does that mean? Are we just like, I'm walking along with the Holy Spirit? But the really, what could really do that word justice more, I think what they really meant, most people would say, is it meant it in an ethical sense. Walk in a way of the conduct of your life with the Spirit. How do you conduct your life in line with the Spirit? And it goes on to say, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, right? For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And we remember that in the opposition to the Holy Spirit, He's given us something powerful called His sword, which is the Word. This is why this is so important with battling the flesh. And He says that the Spirit are against the flesh. Doesn't mean He hates our flesh. I think some people get all weird about that stuff. He loves who we are, but our conduct of our life that pulls us into areas counter God's will for our life, He's against that. Remember that just because you want to do something doesn't mean that you should do something. Maybe I can say it this way with the Holy Spirit. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean that you need to do that thing. And what you need is what God knows you need. And the Holy Spirit is trying to guide you toward. Now, I don't have these on the screen. I really wish I could have because I'm not going to do it justice. My other daughter, my younger daughter, she's a pusher. Do you have a child that's a pusher? Were you a pusher as a kid? Like, no. And then another reason, another angle, another thing, and then just wears you down. And then you're just like, fine. Right? She's so good at this. She'll be gifted one day when she's out of my house. And so in someone else's hands. And so she sent me these text messages from her friend's phone. I wish I could put them up here. It was, Dad, so she's grounded at the time. This was a while back. She was grounded. And she said, Dad, I just want my friend to be able to stop over just to say hi for 5 minutes. She wants to come over. And then I'm going to make sure she can help me clean my room because that's a chore that I have to do. And then also she can help me with my homework because, you know, you wanted me to do my homework. And so if she can just come over for a little bit. I said, no. And she said, could you text me just yes or no? And she waited like literally 2 minutes and said, does that mean that's a yes? And I said, absolutely no. And then she texts me back. Okay, so maybe I could go to her house. Remember, she's grounded. I go to her house and she's doing her chores at her house. I could be helpful there. And you want me to do my chores. And so I could go there and be helpful to her and we could do my homework together. And so, Dad, what do you think? And I know I'm grounded, but you know, I just need to do no. I need to know. And I was like, no, 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 absolutely not. You're grounded. And she texts me back and said, Dad, I really think she should come over. And at the very end, she said, I know that you said no, but I'm going to go over to her house. Okay, bye. And it was funny because I think that's how we can be in our conduct. And when it comes to the flesh, what we want is not necessarily what we need, but the Holy Spirit knows what we need. And sometimes we just want it so bad that we'll ignore the voice of authority or reason. We will push and push and push and push and push. And the Holy Spirit is trying to weed something out, get rid of these hindrances that continually make bad discernible decisions. And so He is constantly doing that. We do that through a process of submission to His will and sanctification and doing the hard things. You remember this. Is that a question we should ask, I think, is what is the Spirit's ways and what are His wishes? And then ultimately, you know, what is the Spirit saying to you? I would say this, by deferring to the Holy Spirit in discernment, we reinforce His authority. Every time we rebel against the Holy Spirit, confronting our heart, in conviction of the flesh, we're just rebelling against His authority. And we're reinforcing our authority is more important than His authority. And now you can see how this would really help to really start to deal with these things in discernible matters. Because we'll quickly defer to our authority, or when it comes time to what we desire, whether the Holy Spirit says this is a desire that's unhealthy, we'll get in a pattern and used to establishing our authority over his. It's important to learn and try to lean into the authority of the Holy Spirit when he is speaking to your life and the importance of his voice, right? And we learn to trust his guidance more and more. And I'll say this about the second thing here, is the Spirit always leads us toward his fruit in discerning matters. Now, if you want to start on what would the Holy Spirit say in this matter, there's a very clear fruit that the Holy Spirit wants in every believer's life. And it's in Galatians 5:22. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to, right, Christ, Jesus, have nailed. I love this phrase, and it's not often read after this. They're nailed, your desires, right, are nailed, passions and desires of sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So these desires, these passions, they're nailed to his cross. The strength of his resurrection is in you, and those things have been put to death. So why dig them up and relive them? Since we are living by the Spirit now, by the power of the Spirit through resurrection, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Why live contradictory to the very life source that you have? Why live contradictory to the life you're going to have for eternity? Why continue to battle that and fight that constantly? It's the Holy Spirit is leading us and confronting the flesh all the time, telling us, guiding us. And all we really need to do is this one word he put here, which is to let us follow the Holy Spirit, right? Leading us into every part of our life. And I like verse 26 because this is really good for all believers to hear this. And we usually don't read this with this passage. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Isn't that interesting that he puts that right after following the Spirit's lead? And I think we can make a good, you know, assumption that he puts that there because then there's people, I think, who go, you know, I live by the Spirit. I make all these great decisions, and I have learned so much. I make great decisions as you've been following the Holy Spirit. And we become conceited, and we lose our way of the person we've been following who's blazed the trail the entire time. And so it's important that we realize that we're followers of the Holy Spirit and not to become jealous of another person. If you're someone in here who is battling the flesh right now and you're battling patterns that you didn't adopt, you were born into a family that had those patterns, or you have stumbled upon some patterns in your life, or you're a new believer, you're trying to sort through some things, don't be jealous and look at somebody and go, that person's been following the Holy Spirit and really, really following with not the type of rebellion I've had against the Spirit. Look at them. They're just so pious. They're just so, like, there's very clear instruction here. This is a path and it's a process and it takes a long time. And ourselves and ego should be completely out of it because we are followers. He leads us in every part of our life. And the Holy Spirit will always lead, but he does need a follower. And I know some of us don't like being followers. This guy particularly. It's hard to follow when I feel like I think I know what I should do. There's a few practicals that we could look at, which is ask this, is our desire, right, when we're seeking this discernible matter, what to do, is this desire in my decision, right? Is there a desire in my decision that is out of step with the Holy Spirit? Is there a desire that I want, but I'm not really looking at it? It's something of the flesh. It's something that's not healthy. It's something that's motivating me. Is there desire in this that's out of step with, even just go back to those fruits of the Spirit. Is that out of step with that? Let's say it's revenge. God, please give me discernment whether I should seek revenge on this person who did me wrong. And I just feel like I should be the bearer of justice. Well, we can go right to the passage and go, well, that's not love. It's not gentleness, and it's surely not self-controlled. We can go to these fruits of the Spirit to seek discernment, and then we can obviously listen to the Spirit's leading outside of that as well. Another question we should ask when it comes to really the Spirit confronting our flashes, we should always ask the question when we're asking for discernment is, am I leading or am I following? Am I leading or am I following? Now, when I was out there, I had a decision to make. Do I mix my water with that wonderful punch? Rob, what is that punch you put there, that red stuff? Oof. Should I have that? And I was there, and I was stuck for a second, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to put that in there. I probably shouldn't. It dries my mouth out, but that sugar's so good. Rob, thank you so much for blessing us every single week. I knew it's not good for speaking. It dries me out. But you know what? It tastes so good. Now, I didn't need to consult the Holy Spirit in that moment, all right? So we know that we have all kinds of decisions we make. But when we're seeking, when we're going down a pathway that's unknown, or it has impact, or it could impact our life, or a decision we're going to make, a behavior we're going to continue, a person we're going to deal with, we should consult the Holy Spirit, and we should consult Him in discernment along with those other influences in our life. It's 11:07. I want to give you this last point, but I cannot. Oh, it's one of my favorites, but I'm just going to have you come back next week. I'm sorry. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend, and maybe you can go back and listen to it on the podcast if you're not here, but I would encourage you. But it has to do with ultimately how God, the way the Holy Spirit interacts with us is when He pulls our heart. And this is a little bit more of like you got to dig deep into this to know what He's doing when He's pulling your heart and He's grabbing your attention and what He wants from that. And so that's a very discerning matter, and it takes some time to walk that out a little bit. And there's a lot of very unique ways in the Bible in which He does that, which I want to dive into. Some of them of which have had a lot of mysticism around it. Some of them are very like, oh, I don't understand that. That's kind of weird. But very clearly in the Bible, there are some clear ways the Holy Spirit impresses your heart or really ultimately grabs the attention of your mind in a discernible matter and grabs your attention in a powerful way. And so we'll get into that next week. So, man, I hate cutting sermons short, don't you? No one said. Well, I guess I'm going to have to work on being offended today. So let's pray. God, we thank You so much. I thank You, God, that no matter maybe our understanding of how the Holy Spirit works or whether one church was one way or one was another, God, I'm so grateful that almost all churches I know of agree on these common things of the Holy Spirit and functions of the Holy Spirit. And God, we are grateful for what Jesus said. You gave us a friend, and that You're guiding us and You're directing us. And God, I thank You that maybe as we walk out today, some of those practicals about how the Holy Spirit interacts with us through Scripture, and God, we learned maybe to consult the author more. And so He can bring this Scripture to life in our life. Or God, that maybe we consult others, God, to get understanding and maybe the Holy Spirit uses them. But God, I just thank You for that. God, You've given us this sword of the Spirit that we can walk through our life with in offense versus just defense or protection. And when it comes to cutting through the truth and getting to the way of wisdom and direction of the Spirit, and so, God, I thank You as we also are seeking discernment in our life, in this area of the Holy Spirit, we just invite You to convict and confront the areas of flesh that are hindering us from making decisions that are of health and bear Your fruit. And we ask that You give us the strength, God, to really lay down very comfortable patterns, very comfortable ways of the flesh, to really walk in step with the Spirit and really ultimately conduct our lives around the Spirit. And God, as flesh has presented one path, The Spirit, as it confronts, presents another path, God. Give us the strength to continually walk down that path, giving more and more and more authority to our guide, our friend, right? Really a champion for us, an advocate for us, God. Give us more and more and more confidence to place authority there through fruit that bears a fullness of life and really changes the lives around us and ultimately quickens us in discernible matters to where you want us to go and what you want us to do or how you want us to handle something. So we love you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys stand with me and sing this last song?